Well, we know the Lord is good, isn't He? I am, in fact, living in Hopewell, Virginia, but I'm originally from Dallas, Texas, amen? The great state of Texas, where everything is bigger. Amen. The Cowboys just got a new coach. We're going to go to the Super Bowl, so everything's all good. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. I'm really happy to see everybody here tonight. I don't take for granted the opportunity to be in the Lord's house. I really don't. It's something that we should, you know, be excited about, and that we really should feel blessed to have this opportunity. Amen. So never, ever take for granted what the Lord is doing for us. I mean, there are people that wish they could be here tonight, but they're physically unable to be in the Lord's house. And there are other people that should be here, but they don't know Jesus. So be blessed that you know Jesus, and you can physically get to His house. Amen. So let's give the Lord some praise one more time on that one. Amen. I'm telling you, don't take it for granted. Well, tonight, the Lord gave me a topic, and I'll call it intelligence as an obstacle. And that's, you know, that's the title the Lord gave me. And this lesson is for all of us. And actually, all of God's word is for us. Sometimes we sit in the church and we listen and we say, well, that's not really for me. It's for you, amen? If it's the word, it's for us. So take it in, store it, because you may need this word tomorrow. Amen. It's very important that we realize that the purpose of the word is to make us better on this earth and to give us the chance for eternal salvation. That means get to heaven. That's why we come to church and we do what we do and we serve the Lord. But this message is for us, just so you're not confused. This message is also for people within our realm of influence. All the people that are around us every day. Family members, people at work, people you meet out, you know, just anywhere, Walmart. This is for them too. So it's important that we take in the word, because the same word we might be able to use to compel somebody else to come to Jesus Christ. Amen? And then whether you realize it or not, all Christians are called to minister on behalf of Jesus. We're actually called to minister the word to people. You don't need a title or a church building. Wherever you go, it's where the church goes. If you're in Walmart, the church is in Walmart. I mean, that's really the truth. If you are a believer, a Christian, amen? So we should be ministering to people just as we get the chance. You don't have to beat them over the head, but share what you know about the Lord. Because I think we can all benefit from placing more energy into other people when it comes to Jesus. Amen? I mean, I trust that we're going to get to heaven. I trust that we will, but who are we going to take along? Do I just want to get there alone, or do I want to have a whole section in heaven that I can say I influenced? Amen? Think about that. But I can tell you, our intelligence sometimes is a problem. So then you say, well, why is this message important? I mean, why is it relevant? You see that wall there, and the guy's trying to get over the wall, and that's how it is sometimes with us and our brain. Because we think we know so much. And there are many people away from Jesus Christ. We know that. Many, many people that are away from Christ. And there are many reasons. There are many reasons, but I'm going to cover a couple of the reasons that I believe that people aren't with Christ. The first reason is they simply have never known Jesus. I mean, there are a lot of people that just, they haven't known Jesus. Nobody ever told them who Jesus was. Or maybe they got raised in another religion or something. They don't know Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus, you don't know Jesus, right? Maybe they were not raised in a Christian home like some of us were blessed to do. The second type of person that is away from Christ are those who knows Jesus, but at some point they walked away. They walked away. They turned their backs on Jesus for whatever reason. It could have been a lack of faith, or it could have been they really had no faith. When I originally wrote the notes, I put down weak faith. But there's really no such thing as weak faith. It's either faith or no faith. That'd be like saying weak strength. Really no such thing as weak strength. You're either strong or you're weak, amen? And so that second category of people are people that they probably know Jesus, but they've walked away. But the third group I really want to focus on tonight that the Lord put on my heart are the intellectuals. Everybody say the intellectuals. Amen. We all know them, right? We all know these people who consider themselves to be that. And when I call them intellectuals, I don't mean that I think they're that smart. I'm saying that I perceive that they believe that they're that smart. Amen. So that's what I mean when I say intellectuals. And some of them want to project themselves to other people as being that. But these people are allowing their intelligence to become an obstacle. Amen? That's not a good thing. So let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, the Lord, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power and the clarity, Lord, that comes in your name. Lord, give us something tonight, Lord, that we can use in our walk, Lord, and that we can also use to compel others to you, Lord. Lord, we pray for power, we pray for open ears, and we pray for peace tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord some praise one more time. And when the Lord gives us the word, I mean, we really should listen to the word. He uses different messengers, different methods of delivery, but when I get a chance to get the word, I'm excited. I really enjoy listening. And I write down, I take notes, I do what I can to grow from that word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 to 20 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he take the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. I mean, that's pretty clear right there. When Paul wrote that to the Corinthians, he was not telling them that there was no value in education. He was not telling them that they should not seek knowledge. Paul was trying to convince them that they need to prioritize everything, and that the Lord comes first, and then their intelligence and their knowledge and all that. So he was not saying that there's no value in education. So don't take that as that's what we're saying tonight. Paul was warning them about the dangers of overvaluing their intelligence. It was a warning. Because at some point, the Corinthians, like us sometimes, had started to value the messenger more than the message. They started looking at man more than they were the actual message. It happens today. You know, all these preachers and different people, we value the preacher more than what he's preaching. Amen? And we should love our preachers and all the smart people in the world. But bottom line is the word is what matters. Amen? But at some point, the Corinthians had started valuing the messenger more than the message. And they were talking about the scholars and all these religious people that are running around pontificating their knowledge and all this stuff, being smart people. At some point, they took their eyes off the Lord. And the Lord became second or something else. At some point, their intelligence had become an obstacle. Amen. It's not what we want to do. A few months ago, I think probably September or so, I taught from the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. And Solomon's point was, throughout that whole book, was that life without God is vanity. He said it's vain. It means nothing. So what does it really mean if I have all this education and a big house and all that, if I don't know Jesus? Or if I'm not walking with Jesus? You know, I probably know him, but what value is it? I live to be 90 and I die. What happened? If I don't get to heaven, was it worth it, amen? Let's not be deceived by ourselves, amen? So then let's look at the simple definition of the word obstacle. We all know what that is. An obstacle is the thing that blocks one way or prevents or hinders progress. It's anything that stops you from getting to where you need to get. Then we look at the synonyms, the words that match obstacle. We see barrier, the word hurdle, hindrance, impediment, disadvantage. Anything that stops you from doing as well as you should be doing. Amen? That's what an obstacle is. But for the sake of this lesson, an obstacle, the thing being blocked, rather, is us being deprived from Jesus. So when we talk about being deprived or being blocked, I'm talking about our salvation. We're letting our intelligence block us from salvation, from getting to heaven, and from having a great life on this earth. We should strive to have the best life we can have right here. I mean, heaven's going to be great, but do I really have to be miserable right here on this earth? Or can I actually have a strong and good life? So my Bible tells me that I can actually have both. I can have a great life on this earth. I can have all the rewards in heaven if I'm a true believer, amen? And I walk the way I'm supposed to walk. It's very important that we understand that. And we must be careful not to allow our own opinion to block us from what God has for us. Opinions are something else, let me tell you. And opinions are okay, but we just need to keep the priorities right when we get these ideas, amen? So I wrote down a few traits of intellectuals. And I didn't look this up on the internet. These are things that the Lord put on my heart to write down as I deal with people all the time that consider themselves to be that category. And the first thing that I didn't write down is most intellectuals are opinionated. Most of them. And they are more than happy to share their opinion with you. Right? I mean, some of us may be in this category. So when I say they, it could be us. I'm speaking to us too, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about the people down the street. I'm talking about us as the intellectuals. I might be saying they, but I'm saying it's really us. Amen? But they would share their opinions. That's why you see all these people writing books and blogs, and they got all this stuff out there, 20, 30 books. Because they really believe that that they should share their knowledge with you. I'm just saying that's why they do it. There's a sense of a little arrogance there. Not saying it's bad if you write a bunch of books, but somewhere they convince themselves that they have a lot of information that you need to know. Amen. But some basic traits is intellectuals, the first thing is they have it all figured out. And I'm sure at times I've been that way. My wife's checked me before, because I thought I had it figured out. But that's one of the traits. The second thing is intellectuals are overly analytical about everything. I mean, you can't even decide where to go to lunch. They want to debate Chick-fil-A or Panera. 27-minute conversation. Man, lunch is over at 1 o'clock. We got to go, But they analyze everything because that's their nature. I mean, that's just how they're wired, okay? But they can't get over themselves. That's the issue. The third thing is that intellectuals, their egos are supported by their worldly accomplishments. Big time. I know this is true. In the Army, every category, you name it, people fit this category. They've been awarded degrees, certifications, positions, and titles by a man. And that's okay. Somebody's got to do that job. But these things facilitate their confusion about the order of things. They get confused. At some point, they won't even go to church, or they debate everything they heard at church, and they just get so intellectual that they're missing out on what God has for them. I'm telling you, I know some of these people. And they will debate. I mean, you give them a scripture, they will take the thing upside down and down the other way. And they won't come to church. Or they'll come with a critical spirit and not come back for a while. It's an ego thing, but they're confused about the order of things. They consider their intelligence to be a strength. But it's probably actually a weakness in the end. Because if they don't change their ways or their thoughts and their hearts, they're going to have a hard time getting into heaven. It's the truth. Let no man deceive himself. Amen. So then we look at what are some of the sources of this earthly intelligence that we think we have. We've all had it. We've all been there. Where do we get these ideas that we're so smart? The first thing is our experiences. This includes our upbringing. Maybe we had smart parents or very opinionated parents that rubbed off on us. Maybe we're exposed to people that just shared a lot of information to make us think that we're intelligent. Maybe our financial status could contribute because we were well off or we were blessed. Maybe that could mess us up a little bit. Our family structure. Maybe our family was very loving or not so loving. But our experiences, one way or another, determine or affect our perceived intelligence. The second thing is our worldly knowledge or education. Basically, what a man says that I know. So I got a degree from Averett University, a business degree. So man tells me that I can go get any job I want because I got a business degree. But the truth of the matter is, I endured the curriculum and I passed, but that doesn't mean I know everything. Amen? And I don't have any practical experience in the business world. I was a soldier for 26 years, and I work for the Army now. But I have a business degree. I'm very proud of it. But I'm not going to think that I should walk on Wall Street and make, you know, $500,000. Now, could I do that? Maybe. But I'm going to be humble enough to know that just because I got that degree does not mean that, you know, I'm all that. Amen? But that's what happens is we get these titles and these degrees, and it messes us up a little bit or a lot. The third thing is our arrogance. Sometimes our own arrogance or lack of humility will tell us we're something that we're not. It's the truth. But these things affect our mentality as far as making us think that we're intelligent. And you know what? Maybe we are smart people. But we're nothing compared to the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our intelligence is nothing. Throw it out. Be humble is the point here. We don't know enough to get into heaven. Amen? It's our faith that's going to get us there. And I think there's more things about God's word that we don't know than we do know. But it's all going to be revealed one day to us. That's why I don't debate people about the Bible. I don't even know enough to debate them. But I'm not going to debate them anyway because I know what I need to know. Amen? I know what I need to know. I know the basics of how to get to heaven. So I don't need to debate anybody about this or that or the chronological stuff. But people will get you in those conversations. Amen. Don't get caught up in that. Keep your eyes on the Lord. But those things have great influence. Our experiences, our education, and our arrogance or lack of humility can be the obstacle if we're not careful. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Amen? Give the Lord some praise. Amen. And we've heard that scripture 1,000 times. But whenever I read it, there's still power for me there. I mean, I've read it 1,000,000 times. But whenever I read it, something happens, you know, for me. And King Solomon wrote that, and he was said to be the wisest man that ever lived. Wasn't perfect, but he was the wisest man that ever lived, so I receive that because it's in the Word, amen? But the reality is we just have to make a decision. A 1 minute or less decision can really fix a lot of stuff. I can choose God's wisdom, or I can choose artificial intelligence. What do they call it? AI. I don't want any AI. I want God's wisdom. Artificial intelligence will get me to hell and not to heaven. Or make my journey harder to get to heaven than it had to be. Amen. So we don't want artificial intelligence. We want the Lord's wisdom. And the word trust was mentioned in that scripture. Trust is the firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of something. In this case, of God. Amen. We know the Lord is reliable. We know he's the truth. We know he's able. And we know he's strong. Don't let your intelligence be an obstacle. Amen. And a lot of times, it's not our intelligence, it's somebody else that gets our ear. They start giving you ideas, telling you you should do this, maybe you shouldn't do that. There's a church over there, so go visit them, which is fine. So basically, you may never join a church because all these people are in your ear telling you to go over there. Well, go wherever the Lord sends you to go, but make sure you get into a church and be a member, amen? Plug in somewhere and be a part of the kingdom. But I know a lot of people, they're just kind of the floaters. They go around, and I'm sure they get blessed in there. But at some point, you got to plug into a local church if you want to be part of the power that the Lord has. But people will get in your ear and tell you, that church has a good praise team. That one has a good service. Those people are nice. Amen. Figure out where the Lord wants you and make sure you go. And that's just an example of the people that get in our ear, and their intelligence is affecting us. Amen. And the Bible is full of examples. Whenever I teach, I search for examples about what I'm talking about. Amen. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 19. The scripture will pop up there. But to cover a little bit about where I'm going to on this is Acts chapter 19 tells us about Paul in Ephesus on his third mission. And what happened is he went out, he visited all these places. Then at some point he started to backtrack because he wanted the people to hear it again. He couldn't get to everybody, but he started backtracking so he would have a chance to preach to some people that he had previously preached to before. He wanted to clarify some things with these people because he knew that we need to hear it twice or three times. I mean, it would be great if we could hear the word once and we got it. But sometimes the Lord's people need to hear the word over and over again. So Paul backtracked to continue preaching the message about Christ. And verse 11, that won't be up there, tells us that God had given Paul the power to perform miracles. So much power, for example, that he could take a handkerchief or an apron, and once it touched Paul's skin, that item could be used to heal other people. They could just touch it and be healed or have a demon cast out. Is that power? Amen. That is power. So then we pick up here in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 16, where it says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I mean, he beat them down. Amen? He gave them a beating. So then you say, well, why did those people get beat? They were going in the name of Jesus, is what we say. Well, the rest of the story is that these people considered themselves to be exorcists. And some of the versions of the Bible call them vagabonds. They were Jews, but they considered themselves to be exorcists, people that could run demons out of folks. And so their intelligence started to take over, and they started doing something called incantations, which is the chant of words that people use to put spells on people and do magic, basically. So they went out and they would, for example, say, I demand you to come out, demon, in the name of Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad. They would name everybody, trying to be intellectual. Instead of just coming in the power of Jesus, they would name all the gods that they thought people revered. They were basically casting a spell or trying to do some magic instead of using the true power of Jesus. So the demon even knew that, man, you ain't coming in the name of Jesus. He beat him down. That's what the word says, right? You read it. Because they used the name of Jesus, but they didn't have the power of Jesus. And our intelligence will make us do the same thing. Well, I'm not going to go to church, but I'll do my tithes. But we're called to serve and to give. So if I'm only giving, am I really going to be blessed? Or I'm going to serve and cut the grass, but I'm not going to give. I mean, we can't cut enough grass to pay this $8,500 mortgage. Think about that. If we all just cut the grass and nobody gave, what's going to happen? We're called to give and to serve. Don't let our intelligence get in the way, amen? But it says here that these people, essentially, they miscalculated their power. They didn't have any power. But they were speaking in the name of Jesus and everybody else as well. And the devil recognized it. And we don't want to be like that with our intelligence, doing incantations, speaking in a name that's not Jesus, because we're going to get beat down. I don't want to be beat down, amen? I don't want to be naked and bleeding and running. I don't want that. I don't know about you. Don't be like these people. They miscalculated whose power they had. Amen? Verse 16 says they were beat down. They were using their own knowledge, trying to manipulate the name of Jesus. And a lot of intelligent people do that all the time. They're so smart, analyzing, doing this, doing that, and they don't have any power. And more importantly, if the trumpet blows, I don't know what's going to happen to them. But who am I to say they won't get to heaven? But from what I see, I'm just like, man, you know, God bless you and I hope you get there. But let's not be like these people going in a name that's not the right name, amen? Then if you keep reading chapter 19, verses 17 through 20, said that when this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Once they saw this, a lot of people ran to Jesus Christ. I mean, imagine seeing this, that these people that have been doing all this magic for years, that one day they got beat down. You know, we'll be running to Jesus too, wouldn't we? Amen. But as you continue to read, after this incident, the word of the Lord spread widely and it grew in power. Amen. And one of the things about the Bible is, it's intended to help us not learn everything on our own. So now that we know this story, do I really need to get beat down before I come to Jesus? The word just told me these people got beat down. So let's not learn every lesson on our own. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. Because I know the Lord's word is good, and this word is intended to help us be better. Amen. As we start to wind down here and get a little instrumental music playing there, we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen? And we can fix a lot of stuff with 1 minute. With one decision, we can fix a lot of problems. We can really fix every issue we had just with one decision. It might not even take, you know, a whole minute. But I tell people all the time, you know, you're struggling, you're 50 or 60, but 1 minute is all you need, really, to make a decision to change your life. But you got to make it. I can't make it for you. Nobody can make the decision for you. You got to do it yourself. But the Bible says there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Raise your hand if you believe that. That's true. There's power in the word. That's what the Bible says. And then verse 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So it's telling me that this is for my family, for everybody who will receive it. Doesn't matter my economics. Doesn't matter my education. None of that matters. It tells me that I can have it, and everybody on this earth can have this if they receive it. Amen. And then verse 40 says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." I mean, we better save ourselves, folks. Nobody's going to save us. And we got to stay in this word and do our best to walk the best way that we can. And sometimes we're going to fall short, but we better keep running back to Jesus. Better keep running back to Jesus. Better keep plugging in. If the cell phone dies, I go plug it in. Because the charge is not going to last forever, amen? So keep plugging it in. And we got to make sure that we don't let our intelligence become an obstacle in our life. And this message is for everybody. But not many people are going to say, "Oh, I'm intelligent. I'm an intellect." Most people won't do that. But to ourselves, we perceive these things. Amen. But the main points are going to pop up there. The first is, don't be deceived by your own intellect. Don't do it. Be humble and trust God. That works. Humility always works. If you debate that, I can tell you for sure that trusting God always works. But both of them work. Third thing is that we cannot serve two masters. So if we're as brilliant as someone might think they are, you can't serve two. Two things cannot be number one. Either the Lord can be first or you can be first. But we can't both be first, amen? So don't serve two masters. Don't serve yourself and your intelligence. Fourth thing is, stay hungry for the Lord. And I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. But the church is like a table where you come to eat. And actually, the table doesn't chase you. Amen? You got to come to the table. You got to bring your heart to Christ. But Christ has the power to go grab you and make all of you follow him. But that's not the way it's set up. Amen? The Lord didn't set it up to be faithful by force. Amen? We were faithful by our hearts. Amen? So it's not by force, but stay hungry for the Lord. Don't get beat down like the Jews in this story that we talked about. They tried to run those demons out in their own ability and their own intelligence. Amen? It just didn't work. So knowing that, let's not fall short anytime soon. Well, we got to get beat down. I should not get beat down tomorrow because the word is good. The word told me don't get beat down. If you do this in the wrong name, you're going to get beat. So there's no way I should get beat anytime soon, amen? So just keep that in mind. We're going to close with the scripture that we started out with, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, that says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he take the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they are vain." Amen? Let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Amen. This message is for all of us. That when it comes to self or the Lord, there's only one first. Amen. Amen. So just take that. When you go out tomorrow, share this message with somebody. Share those scriptures. Because you may save a soul by sharing. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise one more time. I'm going to have Brother Garfield close this out. Amen. The plan was for me to close it out, but I want to hear his voice. Amen. Once he finds that microphone. But I'm glad you all came out tonight, and I really want you to go share with one person the message that the Lord sent us tonight. Find one person, call them, and just share the word. And they're probably going to receive it. Amen. Amen.